All right, okay. Well, as you know, guys, we've been going through what book this year? Ephesians. And Ephesians, as we know, is written by the Apostle Paul, and we understand the book of Ephesians to be the culmination of the revelation that the Apostle Paul has received in the years that he has been ministering out for the kingdom of God. It is exciting. He's basically brought together all of the different understandings that he has had of this process. So that's what we've been focusing on as a church. Who's enjoyed it? We spent quite a bit of time in Ephesians 1, haven't we? We're not really moving outside of Ephesians 1. But let's just do a recap over the last couple of weeks. Pastor Yvette spoke specifically on Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. And it was, children, obey your parents. Honor your mum and dad so that it may go well with you. And last week, while the girls were away, and there were spies in the camp, obviously, we know that he spoke to all the men specifically, challenging the men to love their wives. So this is all contained within the book of Ephesians, because we believe that if you want to receive all of that spiritual blessing that God promises in Ephesians 1, there are components of that letter in the book of Ephesians that help us make decisions and choices that will help us experience that blessing. Okay, so I'm going to just quickly recap some of the things I'm actually going to say are direct quotes from Yvette's message 2 weeks ago. And the reason for that is, as we walked away from that message on the Monday morning in staff prayer, I made a comment to the team. I said, team, do you know what? You know that message yesterday on parents and children? I'm going to use a conservative figure here. I would say that over 70% of the pastoral care issues that come up in the church life are directly related to this issue. And when it's not dealt with well, people come a cropper. They just come a cropper. So if nothing else, I was speaking to our new pastors, if nothing else, if you take this passage on board and you live it and you just soak in this, you will see people's lives unlocked. And so on the basis of that, the team said, look, maybe we need to just go over it again. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm basically doing a repeat, but I'm going to bring a story in. Is that okay? Because you're all such good students, you'll already know some of this stuff. It'll be in your heart, but I know God wants to speak today through this message. So we're looking at Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Just keep going, guys. Thank you. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And Pastor Yvette threw this picture up, keep going, guys, 2 weeks ago, and she said, isn't it true that if you are a parent in here that you may have made a mistake somewhere in your parenting? Can anyone testify to that? Yeah, some of us do, some of us get it wrong. So today I've got two goals. The first is that if you have had a parent, and let me give you a clue, that's 100% of you here in this room. We've all had parents. Okay, we've all had parents. We're just going to do a sober assessment today to see whether or not we are truly honouring them the way God has asked us to. And the second thing is, for those of you in this room who are parents, we're going to do a sober assessment to see whether or not we need to take some responsibility for any choices that we've made, any damage that we may have caused as parents, so that we can turn things around and bring glory to God through the lives of our family. Is that okay? So they're the two goals I'm going for. For those of us who've got parents, we're going to just say, hey, Lord, just check to make sure this is all in line. Okay, so again, Pastor Yvette 2 weeks ago, she shared that how the honouring of parents brings a twofold blessing for the child. If you look at this passage in Ephesians 6, it says, so that all may be well with you, okay, that's the first part, and that you may live long on the earth. That would suggest that you have a healthy body going on, that you're not plagued with sickness. It comes from the Old Testament. In fact, it comes from the Big Ten, one of the commandments. Honor your father and your mother. And the thing I love about this passage is that when it's repeated, it is the only commandment that is repeated in the New Testament with a conditional promise. Do you know what that means? That means he's saying, you got to do this or else. Well, he's not saying that. He's saying, you got to do this because this is what's at stake. This is what's going to happen if you do it. That's the promise that God's putting and the condition that he's wiring in to that commandment. Do you understand what I'm saying here, guys? It's important. But let's have a look at the word honour. What does the word honour mean? You know, we live in a country where when our Prime Minister stands up or anyone in authority, there is a little bit of element of, there's an element in us that goes, oh, please, I don't have to listen to you. I don't even like you. I don't like what you did. Hey? I know I do sometimes. So I'm going to just go back over what the word honour means. It means high respect. It means esteem. It means distinction, privilege, tribute, kudos. I don't really know that word. It's for people under my age. For the younger guys, it's fame, renown. I'm not saying all of them. Importance, notability, credit. These are big things, aren't they? And for some of you here in this room, you may be saying, but you don't know what I've lived through, Trish. You know, like you're, what are you asking of me? You don't know what's happened to me. And yet there it is in Scripture. And it's not just in the Old Testament, but these two blessings, the two promises of God for the children, again, that Pastor Yvette mentioned were this, that it may be well with them. That means to be good and prosperous in all areas. Let's take a quick assessment of our life. Is it good and prosperous in all the areas of our lives? And the second blessing is that they will have long life on earth. The word blessing, she said, was barak from the Hebrew. And it means to empower, to prosper. This is a good definition of prosper, wouldn't you say? It means to have a pleasant, fulfilling journey. How many of us here, One Church Perth, experience a pleasant, fulfilling journey in your life? Hey? Not everyone's putting their hand up, and I'm not looking for hands, but this is the little test that God wants to run before us this morning. So we could actually say that cursing would mean to disempower that prospering, wouldn't it? The opposite of the blessing is to actually disempower what God wants to do. Now remember, we're looking at Ephesians this year, and Ephesians 1 keeps saying, hey, guys, people of God, I want to give you every spiritual blessing. And here's this passage saying, hey, you got to honour your mum and dad so that you get blessed. So it's intertwined. It's important. And some of you here are saying, oh, yeah, no, I've got this one. It's talking about in-laws as well. Trust me, I know. God's been challenging me about that. Because some of us, and doesn't our society say, yeah, but the mother-in-law or the father-in-law, you don't know what he did. No, this is what honouring our mothers and fathers looks like. So in other words, to bless would mean to empower a person to thrive, succeed, do well, and have a pleasant life journey, and cursing would be to cut that off. Who wants to be blessed here today? Who wants God's blessing? I know that we want that, guys. I know that we want that. And so the best way that I can illustrate this to you is by telling you a story. I like what Vainan said this morning. He said that Jesus used stories. So this morning I'm going to tell you a story. Who loves that? So the story I want to tell you to illustrate what honour looks like and what honour doesn't look like is from 2 Samuel chapter 13 to 18. It's the story of King David and his son Absalom. Can I get a show of hands? Who can tell me, show me now, who like gets that story, has spent a lot of time, gets it, loves it? Okay, there's only a few of you. Awesome. So for some of you, You're going to learn a new story today, and it is good. So King David, as you know, he's in power in chapter 13, 18. I'm not going to read through all the passage, but I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to go home and read this story this week because you will pull out gold. I promise you, if you commit your heart to saying, God, show me, I need you to help me with my family. I need you to help me make things. I want to be blessed. Talk to me through this passage. So the key characters in this story include King David. And as you know, culturally back then, he had more than one wife. Okay? So he had three of these children that we're going to speak about today. Absalom, his son, who had a sister called Tamar. Absalom and Tamar had the same mum. All right? And then there's the other son, who's actually David's oldest son, Amnon. So what has happened here is David, in his parenting duties, failed to discern that there was a problem going on. And that problem was that his oldest son had a bit of a crush on his half-sister. That crush got a little bit out of hand. It got so out of hand that he started to scheme and plan a way of how he could get with his sister Tamar. He even sought advice from one of his cousins. And guess what the advice was? Why don't you just pretend you're sick and get her to come into your bedroom and make you dinner? Who would agree with me that's a dumb plan? Lives can get destroyed when we follow through with dumb plans. And unfortunately, Dad didn't pick up on it. You see, because Amnon even actually went to him and asked, Dad, I'm sick, you know, and the only person that can come to me is Tamar. Tamar's the one who'll look after me. And Dad didn't pick up. I mean, we could even almost suggest that his inattentive parenting sent her like a lamb to the slaughter. Because he raped that girl. And he publicly humiliated her. And it says in Scripture that he raped her and then he literally hated her instantly after it happened. Instantly hated her. And before it happened, she said, what are you doing? Like, we could be married. Stop this wicked thing. You know, this is what fools do. You shouldn't do this to me. Go and ask Father. He will let us marry. It's acceptable. He ignored her. Dad missed it. He did find out, though, and Dad was furious. King David was angry. The problem, of course, was he did nothing. That was his oldest son. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't do anything. He did nothing. Maybe he's my oldest son. Maybe he's spoiled. Oldest sons sometimes are. Sorry, guys. Spoiled. Oh, he can do no wrong. Maybe they just had such a pattern in the family line where, you know, look, I'm scared of what they're going to say, so I'll say nothing. Perhaps because, now this happened after King David had actually had an affair and with Bathsheba. Maybe he felt like because he'd compromised in his own life that he was in no place to now correct his son. But he did nothing. And so for 2 years, Absalom, the middle son, who'd seen his sister be raped and had to pick up the pieces because, you know, when that happened in those days, it wasn't like today. She had to take off her robes, which people understood were her virginal robes. She was preparing for marriage and she basically had to live in her brother's home and they knew that she would never marry. Her life was finished. Her life was finished and her brother was waiting and he started to seethe. Dad, why don't you fix this? Why don't you fix it? You're the one with the authority and power to fix it. And he did nothing. So after 2 years, he decided, right, that's it. I'm going to fix it. Dad's not. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So what he did was he actually went to his father's palace and he said, Dad, we're all going out. We're going for a shooting trip up in the country. You want to come? Now, when I read that, I thought, I wonder what he was really planning. But his father, for whatever reason, chose to say no. He refused. But his brother took him out. Absalom invited all the brothers. There were six brothers. And he'd planned it. And he basically had Amnon killed. Can you hear Absalom's justification? Dad, you're a failure. I had to take matters into my own hands. I had no choice. You didn't do a good enough job. I'm going to fix this. Can you hear the deception? Can you hear the pride and the arrogance? But of course, it didn't fix things. It just made things messier. Now, think about this. This is the oldest son of the king. This is like watching our Prime Minister or the Queen Elizabeth's King Charles get murdered. A nation would stop in its tracks and it would go into mourning. Do you remember? Anyone remember August 31, whenever Diana died? Does anyone remember where they were? Because that's how much it affected the world, didn't it? So this was the king's oldest son. He's been murdered by his own brother, public. And when the advisors came in and told David, David obviously grieved, but he turned around and he said, his advisor said, but David, everybody knew Absalom had this in his heart. He was angry at Amnon. Reading between the lines, if you hadn't sorted it out, we probably wouldn't be here. So now we've got a disgraced daughter, the only daughter of the king. We've got a dead son. And we've got a son who, now that he's murdered his brother, he's a fugitive. He doesn't come home. This is 2 years after the rape. And he goes off into exile for over 3 years. He's staying with family members, but he doesn't come back into the kingdom. Can you imagine the trail of destruction that's going on inside of the palace walls? Trust has been completely shattered. Siblings are reeling with grief. Mothers are at war. Your son killed my son. How dare you? It's a mess. And King David sits on his throne and I reckon he's probably just like, oh, Lord, what do I do? I don't even know how to get out of this mess. Sometimes as parents, we don't know. We just don't know. It feels so overwhelming. Another 3 years go by, and the grief hasn't lifted in the kingdom. And so some of his mighty men come to him, and David, we've got to fix this. And so they plan up a scheme of how they can get him to come back. And hopefully this will fix things. And David agrees, but he's still not allowed to enter the palace. So now we're at year 5 after this cataclysmic event in this family. He's only allowed to live just outside of the reaches of the palace, and he actually lives next to Joab, who's obviously one of David's mighty men. He's one of David's inner circle. And he waits for 2 years. He's standing, he's waiting. Dad, are you going to talk to me yet? Are you ready to talk, Dad? We're up to year 7. And Dad hasn't spoken to him. Anyone know, even have a guess of how this must make him feel? The anger. So what he does is because he's living right next door to the inner circle. King David would have set it up this way. He's safe. He doesn't want his son to be hurt. And he's standing and he calls out to the man, hey, can you set up an arrangement? Can you arrange a time so I can go talk with my dad? He can't just march back into the palace. He's lost that privilege. Joab ignores him. And he does it again. Through Joab's men, of course. Send a message to Joab. Tell Joab, I want to talk to my dad. Strike 2. Fellas, torch his crops. Let's get his attention. Hello? Can you imagine just out here at Karabuda, if you went out and torched one of those farmers' crops? That's their wage. That's their income. That's their livelihood. That is a lot of people's work that is being destroyed. What was going on in Absalom? He thought nothing of it. Torch those crops. I've got to get his attention. And Joab came running. Joab, what do you want? What do you want from me? Set it up. I need to talk to my dad. So he does. After 7 years, father agrees. He finally returns to the palace. And as he walks in, he gets down on all fours. He prostrates before his dad. On the outside, it looks like everything is well. His father gives him big kisses. He's so happy. He just wants his son back. He recognizes that he's made a few mistakes, but he just wants his son back. But there was something about that prostrating. It seemed that he was doing all the right things. But let's have a look at what happened next. No sooner did he enter the palace, he acquired himself a chariot and he got himself 50 men who ran in front of him wherever he went. And, you know, at the gate of the palace where all the wise men sat, Absalom was clever. He'd sit just in front of the gate, in front of David's wise men, in front of his own father. And he'd stop them. And he'd say, "What are you? You're one of the two tribes from Judah? Oh, you're an Israelite. Oh, tell me your problem. What happened?" "Oh, really? Listen, what you're saying, you know, it really does need somebody to help you. And you know, that judge, he should let me be a judge. He's not doing a good job." Sounds to me like Absalom still hasn't dealt with stuff, because he is busy undermining and calling all the Israelites over and saying, "Listen, he's not going to help you. I will." Oh, what's he got? It's got nothing to do with whether David could do his job or not. This was a personal thing. And it says twice in this scripture, in this passage of scripture, that eventually he won the hearts of all of those men, because he was busy undermining his father. What comes out of the heart of the man? He arrogantly decided that dad's no good. Dad can't fix it. Look what he did with our family. So I just believe that God is wanting you to see that this is what dishonor can look like. It starts with a mistake. And if you're a parent in this place, I think you will all agree with me when you raise your hand and say, "Oh yeah, I've made one of them." And all we want is the grace from our kids. If you don't know the story, I will let you read it. But let me tell you, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well for Absalom. He carries on and he attempts to overtake the kingdom. And you know, David's attitude through the whole process is, "I just love you. I want the best for you, man. I've never intended to hurt you." But Absalom was so blind with fury and rage and anger and unforgiveness, arrogance, that he didn't see any of that. He was too busy trying to prove Dad how wrong he was and how he could do better. And it took David's mighty men the horrible, horrible task of having to take out somebody who defied the king. And so the mess of family relationships went into another chapter. But I believe God wanted us to hear that story today, because for him, this is so important, guys. When we choose to dishonor our parents, we open the door for deception and pride and arrogance, and it contradicts God's opportunity and capacity to bless you. Because God's word is, if you honor them, I will bless you. I want to share a testimony of a friend that I've spoken to in recent times, and I got her permission to share this testimony this morning. Because you might say, yeah, but Trish, that was 3,000 years ago, and, you know, like, hello, I'm not a king. That's right. But we are kings and queens, and we're princesses for the Lord. But actually, this is real life here in Perth, Western Australia. So I had the privilege of sitting with a friend of mine recently, and a newer friend, and she's about 70 years of age. And she was started to tell me about all of the arthritis in her hands. And typical of those sort of conversations, I will be listening but praying and saying, God, what's going on here? What do you want me to do? What's happening here? And I sense the Lord say, oh, just ask her about her family. Ching, 70%. Oh, hey, tell me about your family. Oh, my family. Yeah, my family. Oh, well, look, you know, immigrants, family of immigrants. I'm the only daughter. And Dad worked me like a slave when I was a young girl. And, yeah, it's a real mess. And he died 30 years ago. And, you know, but what he did to me and my brother, it was awful. And I'm listening and I'm saying, Lord, what do I do now? Because now there are tears everywhere and there's crying. And I've only been to her home twice. This is my second visit. She's got a family full of men and there are guns in the house. And I'm just nervous because, Lord, I didn't mean to make her cry, you know. And she's saying, well, I hear the Lord say, just lead her through a prayer of forgiveness and repentance. So I do. I just say, do you know, have you ever forgiven your dad for this? Oh, where would I start? Well, first of all, you got to ask the Lord to forgive you for holding on to that. And then you got to ask to forgive him. But he's dead. He's been dead for 30 years. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but why don't we pray that? So I led her through a prayer. Lots more tears, lots more crying. I'm looking over my shoulder at the glass door going, oh, Lord, please don't let any of those men walk in. This is messy. This is real messy. I actually got in the car at the end and just praying, Lord, please, just like if her family find me, they might come after me with guns. That's honestly how I was feeling because she's an old, you know, immigrant lady with lots of family who have guns. And 3 weeks later, she rings me out of the blue. Hey, what you doing? Oh, I'm here. What are you doing? Oh, I want to tell you something. Oh, what? Tell me. Tell me what? Oh, yeah, you know that prayer you prayed? Yep. You know my dad died 30 years ago. Oh, yeah. And you know that all that stuff I told you about? Yeah. That happened 50 years ago. Oh, okay. She said, you wouldn't have known this, but on his deathbed, he said to my brothers, guys, we've done the wrong thing. You got to pay this girl some money. She worked for 4 years, 6 days a week, and she never got paid a cent. And we've done the wrong thing by her 30 years ago. And she said, and you wouldn't believe it. You know, you wouldn't believe this, but do you know what? What? Well, those guys, they never come and visit us, ever. If there's ever a family event, we have to go to them. We have to go sit in the neutral place, but they never come to our home. Do you know it's been 7 years since they've been crossed our threshold? Really? Oh, wow. Okay, yep. Keep going. Well, guess what? What? This week, my oldest brother called me. Oh, No, you don't understand the miracle, Trish. He called me just out of the blue and he invited himself to my home. Now, I've been to her home and she bakes and it's good, but I'm not going to tell you her name or her location because I love that food. No. So she invited herself up. He invited himself up for lunch. Oh, okay, that's good. Yep. So we're sitting there. We're all having lunch. I'm just in awe because this has even happened because he's never even... Her description of her brothers were ruthless. They are ruthless, cruel men. And if she's 70, you know, hello, we're not talking about spring chickens here. This is 70 years of ruthless men. And she said, and we sit around, we have lunch, and then at the end of lunch, he turns to me and he says, you know what? My brothers and I, they've sent me up here today. We want to say we're sorry. We've done the wrong thing to you, And, oh, by the way, here's a check. And it was the exact amount of what they owed her from 50 years before. Here's the point. God can fix it. Even when our parents get it wrong. And I don't think this is just about parenting today. I think this is about leadership. I think this is about our bosses. I think this is about our politicians. I think this is about our teachers and the police and our pastors. See, because I don't want you guys to miss out on the blessing. And God's given you three amazing new pastors in Yvette, Matt and Chris. And when you stand there and go, what do you know? You haven't been around here before. You're going to miss out on the blessing. Because even if they get it wrong, Dad can turn it around. Big Dad can turn it around. He thought this whole thing up. And he knows that we're a little bit messy and we fail sometimes in our duties as a parent when we're inattentive. He knows that we get it wrong. But if we're humble enough to go, Lord, I don't know, I think I've stuffed this. Okay, let me show you what to do. Isn't that an amazing testimony, guys? And she's not in a full spirit-filled church. But since then, hey, oh, guess what? Can I get you to pray for this? Absolutely, we'll pray for that. And we've seen God moving in her life through that little situation. And she testifies undeniably that it is because of that prayer, it is a miracle. I know that it is Jesus working this process. It is Jesus, isn't it, Trish? Yes, it is. You know, how amazing is God, guys? I need you to give him a clap for that, because that's a 50-year family mess that God has untangled in 3 weeks just because somebody in the family went, I'm going to trust you. On the other hand, we have Absalom, who said, humph, you, because you weren't sharp enough. Look what happened to my sister. Because you didn't pick up on this. Look what happened. And he arrogantly went on the warpath against his dad. Guys, God wants us to be blessed. So my goals this morning were very simple. Oh, sorry, put the wrong password in. Hello. If you were struggling with parents, if you're struggling with authority, and young people, parents, can I just please ask your permission to speak? If you have a parent in here and you're a younger person, this is way too important. I can guarantee that every single parent has got this wrong somewhere. So if, as a young person, would you just reach over to your kids and go, if you need to stand, stand. But I want to encourage you that if you are struggling with your parents in any way, shape or form, and that is adults as well, if there are things that have been left and undealt with, because, hey, 50 years later, it apparently just doesn't get fixed, and then it gets to the awkward stage, and so let's all pretend and let's rather trip over that mat than talk about it. I want us this morning to just acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, we have had this issue and we don't know where to start, but I want to give it to you. I'm sorry, Lord, where I've held on and I've judged my elders, my leadership, whoever it is. And God, I'm going to give this one to you instead of trying to fix it and work it out, because it's getting messy. It's just getting messy. And I want us to repent. I want us to repent for deciding that we know better. I want us to repent for holding unforgiveness. I want us to repent for dishonoring our parents. And I want us to forgive those who've disappointed you and allow God to sort that out. Is anyone open to do that with me today? And for those of you who are parents in this room, there's a really good lesson in this, guys. It's up there. It should be up there. It says, don't avoid the tough stuff, mums and dads. There's too much at stake. Even if you don't know how to handle it, tell them, this isn't right. I don't have a clue how to handle it because I've never done this before. But I'm going to trust and ask God. But here's the bit that I know. I've got to take responsibility for this. I asked my children last night for their permission to share this. But, you know, there have been many times where I've sat around the table, and my guys are still young, obviously, but we've just sat down around the table and Paul and I have said, and it's generally me, or I've just had to say, guys, you know what, I just really got this wrong. I want you to know that I know that I've got it wrong. And God's convicted me. And I want to change. I don't want to be screaming at you, because that's kind of generally what it is. Now, I don't want to do this because it's not helping you. It's not helping you love me. And I want you to love me. You know, I'm not giving away my authority to them. I'm not just going to bend and, oh, I'm not going to appease the situation. I'm not going to compromise the way God tells me to do it. But I take responsibility for what I've done. See, because just like Absalom, they see when we make mistakes. They see it. They're not stupid. They know, Mom, you've just been talking to that person about forgiveness and now you're in the car screeching at me. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. I don't want to screech at you. And you know, it's good. It's good. I'm not giving away my parental responsibility. I'm not giving away my authority as a parent by acknowledging that I got it wrong. In fact, I'm helping them. I'm helping them to honour me. Because have you ever had someone do the wrong thing to you as a leader? And you know that they kind of know that they got it wrong, but they're not saying anything. And you're just like, but you know you did the wrong. Come on, let's talk about this. I love you. I want this. But you know you got it wrong. I know that you know that you got it wrong. I know that you got it wrong. Come on, let's not go around in circles here. So parents, speak to your kids. Perhaps you need to have a chat around the table. So we're going to do a corporate prayer, if that's okay, this morning. I'm going to wind this down now. Can I get a song playing in the background? Just for a moment, and it's the song that sings that he is a good, good father. Isn't he a good, good father, guys? Hey? You know, everyone who knows my story, you know, when I was 18, God said to me, forgive your mum. Oh, but Lord, you know what she did to me. Forgive her. You know, totally uncouth. Mum, I forgive you for being unfaithful to Dad. She didn't even acknowledge it. She was in complete denial. But that wasn't the point. God didn't ask me to talk about that. He just said to forgive her. And her response was, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, and my response to that was, I just want to be better now. I'm a ball of fire on the inside and I just need it to stop. And God's healed me. And he healed that relationship. And she came back to Christ because of that. So if you're a person in here who's been hurt by a parent, do not fall into the deception that you have to wait for them to come to you. You're hearing the message today. You've heard it. Do what God tells you to do. So we're going to do a corporate prayer call. Let's play the music. And as it plays, just ask the Lord to show you there's something you need to do. We're going to pray a very general corporate prayer because we are not going to be Absaloms, not in this house. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge that you and you alone are the ultimate authority. You thought up this thing of family. You thought up this thing of structure and authority. And we don't fully understand it, God. But today, Lord, you show us that when we step out, the consequences are too dire. And we don't want that for our families. So first of all, Lord God, we honor you. We honor you by saying, Lord God, thank you for our parents. We say thank you for our in-laws. Thank you for our leaders. Thank you for the people in authority that you've placed over us. And God, we want to ask you to forgive us. We repent, Lord, where we have foolishly decided that we know better. We don't want to acknowledge or agree with that lie, Lord God. We repent, Lord, for holding unforgiveness towards those who have been placed over us to protect us and care for us. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive us where we've held on to unforgiveness. I ask you to forgive us, Lord, where we've dishonored our parents and leaders. I ask you, Lord, to forgive us for doing these things. And we in turn, Lord God, we choose to forgive those who've disappointed us. We choose to forgive, Lord God, those in leadership, those in spiritual leadership, those in civic leadership, and ultimately our parents, Lord God, because they are representing you. And Lord, you know, I know this, that you are the ultimate authority. When we diss authority, we're dissing you. We don't want to do that, God. So forgive us today, Lord Jesus. And we say we choose to trust you to show us the next steps in the process of restoration and healing in our families. And we ask this in the mighty and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to close the service, and I'm going to pray that the service is closed. But there are people here who may want to come forward and actually just get some ministry from the prayer team. So prayer team, if you want to come forward as I pray, and I'm going to dismiss you for the service, but feel free if you need to speak to someone to come down the front and speak to one of the team up here, okay? So, Father, thank you. Thank you that it is your word that sets us free and gives us life and transforms and renews and gives us all that we need. So we just trust you, Lord, today that this word would penetrate our hearts and our spirits. And as we go out of this place, God, help us to have an amazing week. Bless those who couldn't be here with us today. Look after them, Lord God. They're part of our family. We just love you, Lord God, so much. We give you all the honor. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.